Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening to each and every one. Thanking the Lord for this new year that we are in, for another show that He has given us, a program. I thank God for life, health, and strength. Thank Him for His many, many blessings that He has given. Thank Him for how He's looked over us down through the year. If it hadn't been for His mercy and grace, we wouldn't be here tonight. So we're not worthy of all the good blessings that He gave us, but He still looked down on us and had mercy on us through the hard times, through the bad times, through the struggles, through the upset times. I'm going through tonight a little something that, you know, aggravates you sometimes with family. And this is a discussion that we have on family sometimes. It seems as if sometimes the younger generation, the more you try to do to help them, the more that they don't want to do. And then you have people that don't want you to say certain things in a way to them. Some things need to be said in a way, and some things need to be left alone. So I ask each and every one that's out there listening and joining in with us this night to pray for me, that I continue to have the strength that God has given me to do what He has for me to do. I love the Lord. He saved my soul one day, sanctified, still seeking to be filled with His precious gift of the Holy Ghost. He has taught us how to live through His word. He has taught us the things that we should do and shouldn't do in His word. He has given us encouragement to give to someone else in life. And sometimes within a husband and wife relationship, we don't have the best relationships because too many people's involved in our relationship sometimes. And it seems as if it makes it harder for the husband and the wife to come together sometimes. We're going to talk a little bit tonight about family, as usual. One of my main goals to get across to the young people and the older people, and the sinner man, even the Christian man. But we're going to pray for the sick and the needy. We're going to pray for the well-being of the COVID patients and the ones going through with COVID still yet, that's suffering from a long-term situation of COVID. We're going to continue to pray for our elderly, lost loved ones, our nation as a whole. We're going to pray for the young man and his family in the ball game last night off an incident that happened. And I believe they said over since 1995, an incident like this hadn't happened. I believe they had like 200 accidents that were similar to this one. Said it's not likely to happen too often, but it does happen. We're going to pray for him and his well-being and his family and teammates and all of the NFL players, all of the sports players in the case of the things that they do to entertain. We want to pray for each and every one of our families and our family members, our children, their well-being in the homes, not knowing what's going on or what they're around. We're going to pray for relationships in the name of Jesus, because we know that God is able to see us through. We're going to pray for my aunt, Zelma, that's in the hospital tonight, hoping that they find out what she's going through and what's wrong with her. All of my family, loved ones, our church family, our leaders here within the church, the incarcerated, the police officers, school leaders, the nation as a whole, the world as a whole, to include everybody, needs prayer. Precious Father God, in the name of Jesus, forgive me, Lord, of my negative thinking and all of my sin, Lord. Help me, dear God, to do better, to trust in you and let you lead, Holy Spirit, my life. I ask that you continue to bless each and every one of these prayer requests that has been requested, dear God, and continue to help us in our everyday journeys. I thank you, Lord, for blessing my niece, Lord, to how you blessed her to safely, as we went over the dangerous highways up the mountains, for her to find her a car. And you opened up that door for her, dear God, to find her something nice and blessed her with it, making me so proud of both of them, dear God, how you are blessing them, and their mama would be so proud if she was here, my sister, Lord. My companion, even though sometimes we get at odds, but God knows the best thing for us in life to bring us together. I ask, Lord, that you continue to bless each and every prayer request, the sick and the needy, all of the loved ones, and continue to bless our Bishop R.C. Bryant, dear God, and his body. Don't know what he's going through, Lord, but it seems like every time he turns around, something else is ailing him, his companion, Lord. Touch her. She tries to do all she can to take care of him when she has her own problems, Lord. We ask that you bless them in the name of Jesus, dear God. Bless Bishop Armstrong with his situation, with his companion, Lord. Strengthen him, Lord, in the things that he do. He has a lot on his plate, dear God, and he continues to keep on doing the will of God, seeking you, Lord. Open up doors to someone else, dear God. We ask that you bless in the name of Jesus, because we know you're able, Lord. You're the only source that we have, dear God, we can depend on. Help us, Lord, in every way. Holy Spirit, lead us in every way and guide us, that we will be obedient to your word, God. Do your will. And have love for the people, families. Bless our young people, Lord, to turn their lives around and to want to make good at their lives, Lord, and just not want to sit around and do nothing. Bless these children that have to go into homes, Lord, where their parents just don't want to do, just don't want to be. It's a mess, dear God. Sometimes you have to speak up on what is right, on what is real. You just want to do the right thing. When the Holy Spirit leads you to say something, you say it. But Lord, when he leads you to just not say nothing, you keep your mouth shut. And we hurt over these situations with the young people, dear God, because it seems as if they can't see, Lord, the things that we see, the things we've been through and try to help them along the way. They just don't want to pick up, Lord, and do. So, Lord, we put them in your hands tonight. Ask you to bless each and every one of them. In the name of Jesus, we pray, because your love, dear God, is with us. We're covered with the blood of Jesus. And we know, dear God, you are the source of every need in our lives. We thank you and we love you, Lord, for what you're doing, what you've already done. And we thank you in advance, dear God, for what you're going to do in the name of Jesus in our lives, in our paths. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, everybody, because he is worthy to be praised. He's worthy. I want to read 1 Timothy verses 5-8, the ESV version. It says, but if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4, ESV version. A slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. So what we're trying to learn tonight is how to pick up and do, not sit around and wait for someone else to do all the time. We have to pick up sometimes and do a little something and not depend on everybody else to take your slack. Because when someone else is taking your slack, they're getting in a situation in their lives of the family to where you're not providing, you're not doing. You're looking for someone else to take care of your situations in life. And we have our own problems, each and every one of us, that we try to take care of along with your problems and your life situations by helping with the children. Help them with the things of getting them back and forth to school. Help them with the things of taking care of them. And sometimes it gets hard on a grandparent, on a great-grandparent. And the young people don't see this. It's not like when we was young, our parents, you went to spend the night just every now and then, if they allowed it. You went to house to play, but when it come time to come in, you come home with your own parents. They didn't put you off on somebody else all the time. They took care of their own children. And as their children got older, they taught them how to take care of their children. And so on, but somewhere along that way, it got a little slack to where the children got to be younger having children. And they didn't have anyone to teach them how to take care of their children, so they put their children off on the grandparents, the mama and the daddy, or anyone else that they could within the family. So we're talking about, still yet, the things of a family. Not being lazy within yourself of not wanting to do the things that you should, like get a job, make way for your family, work to have your own place, your own home to provide for your children. Because most of them are single moms now. Once the man gets there and does what he wants and get what he wants, he's gone after a while, leaves you with the setup of the children. And then you're upset about it because you don't have him in your life to help or do. So you start to put it on your parents or the grandparents or whoever it may be that you can put them on. And you don't learn from the situations in your life. All you do is continue to fall back yourself. Back then we had the older generation. They taught the young ladies on how to act, how to sit, how to carry themselves. And any mother of the church was able to talk to any young lady back then if they've seen something that was not in order with that young lady, and their parents would be thankful that they cared enough to do it. These days and time, parents don't want you saying anything to the kids, whether it be right, whether it be wrong, because they feel like you're attacking their child, and all you're trying to do is correct them and show them in the right way to do things. And it's sad because we don't have enough people willing to step up. Step up and say what needs to be said. And when you get ready to say things, certain ones say, well, no, I wouldn't say that. We just go ahead and let that go and do it. That's the problem. You let too many things go. And the more you let it go, the more and more they continue to do it, the worse and worse they get. Sometimes things have to be said, but you pray about it. Ask the Lord to lead you. Holy Spirit, lead me in what to say and how to say it. And if you do that and you're led by the Spirit of God, then you're doing it in the right way. But when you go off on your own without the leader of the Holy Spirit, without the guidance of the Holy Spirit and God's will, you mess up. That's the problem with a whole lot of people. They want to tell you what to do, how to do, but they haven't been led in the right way to let you know. If the Lord leads you to say something, he'll work that thing out to whereas it'll reach the person, but they have to be the one that responds to it, because there's nothing we can do outside of trying to help someone. And if the help don't work, we continue to pray for them. Okay, it says right here, Proverbs chapter 6:6. Go to the ant and sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. And this right here now, it teaches you, let me see if I can pull this one up, if it's got any more to it there, because that's a good one there, because it teaches you how to provide, how to store up, how to do things. We had one of our preachers, ministers, to preach on this. And the thing is, we have to learn the right way and how to do things. In life, everything's not easy. Everything's not simple. But if you're willing and you're not lazy and you put yourself in a position to do, God will open up a door because he sees that you're sincere from your heart and what you want to do, where you want to go in life. But if you're not, you're not going to do it. So, family, we need to get back to the ways of teaching rather than letting go of. Teach young to where the younger generation now can be taught something because they're not being taught at home, because the parents is not much older than they are to teach them anything. And it continues to go on. But us as grandparents, sometimes we are the ones that have to step in and stand up. Great grandparents to talk to them and let them know the right and wrong in things. And hopefully, as we pray for them, the older they get, that they'll pick up and learn from it. And we can change some things in this world, because that's what it's all about. It's about our young growing up in a good environment, in a healthy environment, and not just hanging around any and everyone you're going to come about these situations, but you don't have to put yourself in the position for them. Good evening, Bishop.
Good evening, sir. How are you?
I'm doing fine. It's good to hear you. Well, we're going to open up and let you give a little something.
Well, you're doing such a good job. What I would say is that you stepped on my toes, my generation toes. One of the problems is we dropped the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And the children of the 60s, and, well, we're the ones of the 40s and the early 50s, and we were doing the 60s, we became too selfish. It came all about us. And because it was about us, we got caught up trying to make money, and didn't really have time to do what our parents and grandparents did for us. And then the thing was, there was a shift. A shift came around in the 60s where it wasn't a whole about marriage. It was more about fornication. And a lot of children came about as a result of that. And then the government had a role to play in that too. Because
they always
a lot of people lived. A lot of people lived on the farm, and in the 60s, when people they did away with the mule, and they started with the tractor. I remember there was a one-row tractor, and then there was two-row tractors.
Yep.
Then there were four-row tractors, and those sharecroppers, they were not needed anymore, and they were pushed into the cities. And when they got pushed into the cities, that was an all new thing for them. They had idle time, and they just sort of got into things and doing things that they won't allow us and didn't have time to do out there in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And because that transition from the rural to the city and that culture in the rural, you know, you didn't live close enough where all that fornicating could go on. Whereas in the cities, you were right there together. And
that's true.
As a result of that, when the parents were at work, you went over to their house, and you and the daughter, or the daughter and the son, start fornicating, and next thing you know, here comes a little offspring. And now, before then, if a young lady got pregnant, they sent her off, and she came back, and she might have had a cousin with her, but that was her daughter. But the family took care of it. But whenever that change in the 60s took place, hey, it wasn't all there. Because then you had to get a job. You had to go to work. Or if you then wasn't working, then you were entertaining during the daytime. The gentleman would come over in the daytime while everybody else was at work. And then what happened was a lot of the young girls, they started hanging out with the older men who had money.
Mm-hmm.
They could give them a couple of dollars. And then they would do whatever.
They felt like it was something
wound up. That's right. And they wound up with an offspring, and a lot of times they went to their little boyfriend, And they told him that it was his. And
yep.
they were, you know. And one thing, we had a saying in our community. It won't no DNA. But,
yep.
So it was, and see, people didn't have time, or they didn't take their time. Nobody was there to teach the people.
So true. My,
that body, the dog was married, and they had to litch, what is the, well, I've forgotten the name, the term that they call it, latchkey kids. You went to school, you came home, you locked the door, and you had a key to get in, and nobody was there. And then when the parents came, they were tired from working. And then you were fortunate if you were in a family where one parent worked during the day and the other one worked mm-hmm. at night, in the evening time. So that somebody was home. But when you were home, you raised yourself. And that's one of the things that got us into the condition that we're in today. Children raising children.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times the children, Even out in the country, the children, because I know a lot of times there will only be four of us in class. Well, the rest of them, they were home. Either Mr. Charlie told the parents that they couldn't go to school because they had to help out on the farm. Either they taking care of the younger ones or they were in the field. So, but there was supervision. And now they got all that freedom whenever they're downtown. So we have to, when we look at it, we have to be truthful and accept the responsibility that we
both in.
That's right. Yeah, but I like we have talked a little bit. I like the way the program is transitioning to one more of the family, more of a family than just a men. And hopefully, as it transitions to mm-hmm. family, because that's the key right there. Family is the key. What takes place
yes, sir.
There is the most important thing. So I'm excited about the transition, and I'm hoping that we will have ladies on, and the ladies can talk to the ladies, and the men can talk to the men, and they can listen to each other. And
so true.
When we start, that's the key right there. We have to listen to each other.
And that's the way we learn in different ways about situations, what can help, what won't help, they feel, or whatever the situation may come about. Because everybody has a voice when it comes to family.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, the voice needs to be heard. And
mm-hmm.
the more voice we can get into it, is the more that we can bring people in that may want to express their voice and opinion and start to
mm-hmm.
help. Because, you know, like I said, you got people listening. You got people that enjoys listening. And the thing is, we have to be truthful and do everything in a right way according to God's will. Like you said,
mm-hmm.
We don't say the Bible, we go by Scripture, because Scripture is the Word of God that explains the way that it should be explained. Because every
right.
word in the Bible is not coming from, you know, God or Jesus. I mean, there's many speakers that have spoke in the Bible, so we want to be truthful on what the truth is. And as long as we do
mm-hmm.
that, things are open up. And God will make a way and open up a door. for more people to start to come in and more people to share. And hopefully we can get a few teenagers interested to just call in to listen. Don't have to speak out right off. Just call and listen and get an idea of what's been talked about and then give your input on what you feel or what you see that may be able to help the younger people or the younger generation. And that's the thing that we would really like to reach is some of the young people to come in on the show, the program, and share some of their opinions about family on the things that they feel that is not done or the way that they are represented as young people and not thought of, or someone not been able to have someone to talk to. Because I've had a lot of young men tell me, and I've been talking to them about the show and everything, and they said, well, I work and everything. And I said, well, you still can go on and listen to some of the show. And the thing is, you're not working. All you have to do is listen in and get a chance to listen on what's going on. I said, because we're trying to reach everybody. It don't matter the people that is on there, Christian, sinner, young, old. We're trying to reach everybody. And the thing is, everybody can pull an input to help through everything that we talk about and talk about how God's word and God's will. And we know that family is one of the biggest things that we look at that's having a problem right now. And a lot of families right now, and it's the hardest thing to see when families are fighting over properties. You know, don't make no sense. Parent die, fighting over the property. Some might not have spoke to their parents in years, or come to see them, come to visit, but all of a sudden, you know, a lot of chaos going on. It's like one of my couple of my classmates, their mom passed about a couple of months ago. And some of them hadn't been home in years. And one of my friends told me, said he was out there in the yard, because he lived right up the road from them. And said they was actually fist fighting where they had got into it about who was going to get what. And then when they had the funeral, said they broke her loose again at their mom's funeral. I said, that's just so disrespectful for people to go through this, act this way. But it happens, and it pulls family apart just over something that they never provided, they never put an input on. Mom and dad work all their life for what they had. And then when something happens and they're not here no more, the kids is fighting over what they're going to do when they haven't did anything to help out on nothing. That's the sad part about the whole situation of family. You should be able, at a time like that, to come together and talk about it and say, well, I wouldn't mind having this for mom and dad's, if that'd be all right. And the other one come and they do the same thing. You get along as a family. And whatever comes out of it, you just share with each other. And it'll work out all right. But when you fight and everything, and you end up not getting what you think you should, then it pulls the family apart when you didn't have a part to worry about anyway. So I've never understood that situation, you know, of family getting upset about things after their parents pass on what they're going to get. And while your parents live and you don't respect them, you don't come around. And there were some that hadn't been around in years that had come home looking for something after they'd heard. And the bad part about it caused a lot of fussing and chaos on what they thought they should have gotten. But that's a part of that. And that's a bad part of family, you know. So that's the reason why we have to continue to pray. We got to pray constantly with family and in family, because the simplest of things can draw a family apart. And it don't take much, and sometimes you wonder, why is this going on? It wasn't much of anything, but one's upset about this, the other one's upset about that. And it don't make no sense. I know our Bishop R.C. Bryant, he said one time, he said, now, you know, me and my wife then worked all of our life to get a home, pay for a home, and get the things that we got. And he said, you know, you look and your kids just acting a fool off and on all the time. And said, do you think that we should leave them anything behind that we work for, and then as soon as we're dead and gone, they lose it? He said, it don't make no sense. He said, because they're not going to change. If they're acting a fool while you're living, they're going to act a fool when you die. He said, you know, so the thing is, you and your wife, it's up to y'all what y'all do, because y'all the one that had to work hard to pay for what you got. And then to lose it over something simple, said it don't make no sense. And that's so true, because I got a cousin, their dad had a new house built. He passed, his wife was still there. She ended up, which was years past, having to go into a rest home. Well, this daughter, they left her over everything. She went to the bank, borrowed a big large sum of money on the house, and wasn't nobody living in it but the baby brother. She told him, left the bill with him. Told him, said, well, you going to have to pay this bill. And he said, no. He said, this house paid for. She went and took out a large sum of money, bought her and her husband new cars, left him with the bill. He ended up getting put out of the house, and they put the house up. The bank took the house back for sale, brand new house. And the mom and dad gone, and the house is gone. Nobody has it now, and they got it up for sale for whoever wants to buy it. And I said, then the house is paid for now. And I said, that's a shame. A family member, you know, when you talk about families, that the unexpected happens with family, and then it draws family apart, and you wonder why so many families is having problems with one another, mad at this or mad at that one. And you know, family can hurt you quicker and more than anyone outside of family, seems like.
That's right.
Sad to say, but it happens. I mean, I hate to say it that way, but it happens. And we have to get to the sense of thinking. That's like us, we're going through right now with our young grandparents and the kids. And we went through, we talked about it, we did things and stuff, and the DSS has been in and everything, and we're going through. And sometimes I get to the point, I get upset, and I say, well, I'm going to say something. My wife said, no, don't say that. She said, no, just don't say nothing. I said, just, you know. And I told her, I said, some things have to be said. And she said, no, just, you know. And I started praying. I said, Lord, just let me pray about it and just keep my mouth shut then, because I get upset when she tell me don't say nothing. You know. She said, we'll get through it. And we usually do. But I told her, I said, you have to realize we don't say nothing sometimes. And we keep letting them get by and let things slide. It puts more pressure on us. I mean, some things have to be, you know, some things have to be said. And, you know, I deal with that problem, and I get upset with her because she told me, I said, you're going to have to be willing to step up and let them know. And then I have to go back, and I say, well, Lord, forgive me, Lord, to just help me Help me, Lord. Help me with my situation and my thoughts and the way I feel about the situation, that I don't do wrong or mess up in the wrong way. Because once we go through this situation in a relationship, it can really bother a relationship, and people don't realize how much effect things can come into a relationship of a husband and a wife when it comes to doing certain things outside of that relationship for grandkids, great-grandkids, and their parents not being willing to step up and do what they're supposed to do. And I said, sometimes I feel like, well, my wife just don't understand, you know. But I have to ask the Lord to help me and pass on and pray for it. And if God leads me to say it, then I tell her, I said, well, if I'm led to say it, I'm just going to go ahead and say it in a loving way, in a nice way. I said, I don't have to be rude or mean in no kind of way. I said, but certain things, sometimes we just can't let go of. Because if we do, we're going to be the ones going through the struggles. We're going to go through the pains that we have sometimes. We're going to get through being tired sometimes to where we feel like we just ain't make it because we do so much sometimes. And, you know, family, it's all about family. Some things have to be talked about. Some things need to be discussed because people need to know the situations with family that can bring about a change in your life, their life. But it's so true. I mean, you hate to, you know, sometimes say certain things, but things is going on within families that plenty help around and about needs to be talked about. Somebody needs encouragement. Somebody needs prayer. Someone have to teach these young children, because when the grandkids bring them into your life, you have a responsibility in teaching them God's way. When they leave your hands, they go back to the same outdoors that they was in before they came. So we're trying to teach one thing. They go out into a world and everything with their parents again, and they're right back into the same mess. And it bothers me, but I have to say, well, Lord, they're in your hands. Help me to do what I can do when they're here. But when they're out of my hands, Lord, they're in your hands all the time. And there's nothing that I can do about it once they leave here. But pray that they are taken care of, that they're well, and everything will be all right. Because it hurt me sometimes to see the things that they have to go through and not knowing the things that they have to see when they get around their parents. And they bringing in different men here, different man there. And the children don't need to be seeing stuff like that, all kind of men coming in and out the house and not knowing what the situation is around them. But we face that within families. So we just keep on looking. We keep on praying. We keep on searching. Because God has a way to change things in people's life. And we just have to trust him to take us through and see us through all these situations in life, because you can't do but so much. You can't do but so much. And it's sad because everybody's in need. You know, we sang that song, I'm in the need of prayer. It's me, oh Lord, it's me. Standing in the need of prayer. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my mother, not my daddy, not my brother, not my sister, but me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. That's me. I'm standing in that need tonight because I need it constantly. My family needs it constantly. Our leaders need it constantly. People don't understand the things that people's going through right now, because everybody, I don't care who it is,
is facing something. It's just like a young man. Nobody never thought last night in a football game it would happen the way that it happened for him. It happened so sudden and so quick. And then, you know, he had to bring the people on the field to perform CPR. And when something gets that serious in a sporting game, then you know it's bad. He could have lost his life there on that football field, but God had mercy on him to let them get him to a point to get him to a hospital. And we were remembering him in prayer and his family, because we still don't know how things is going to turn out for him. But it's a sad, sad thing to see this. Life can change in a quick moment. We just don't know. It can change in a quick moment. So that's why we continue to love. We continue to pray. We continue to try to encourage and teach whatever we can to help someone. Because our thing is trying to be a help, a blessing to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Encourage people in a way that they can look and say, well, we enjoy listening in. We enjoy what's been said because we're talking honesty, we're talking truth, we're talking love and happiness, even though sometimes it may not sound so happy, but we are in a state of happiness because Jesus, you know, I told the kids, I said, not only is Jesus the reason for the season at Christmas, he's the reason for every day that we live and wake up to see a new morning because of his Father God's mercy on our lives. I said, if it wasn't for him, he blesses us through the day. He continues to keep us. He continues to open doors for us. Everything that's done is done with him, blessing us. And one asked me, she said, well, Papa, what about the snow? I told her, I said, if he says it's time to snow, it don't matter what the weatherman says. I said, it's going to snow. She said, well, Papa, we don't get any snow. I told her, I said, that I can't tell you. I said, only he knows. And I pointed up to the sky. I said, only he knows. I said, I can't tell you. She started asking questions about it. But, you know, kids, they once you start talking about things like that, about Christ to them and things and God to them, they want to know more. They want to hear more. And they come up with some questions for you, and you don't know what they're going to come up with. But she just wanted to know because everything that I told her, I said, without Christ in our life, we can do nothing. I said, without him in our life, nothing can happen. And I tried to just give her an understanding that he is involved in everything and every way that we do and we come about. It's about him, no matter what. I said, you tell your friends if they say something to you, you tell them the reason why I'm here today is because of Jesus. And she said, okay, Popo. I told her, I said, you know, I said, you might be able to help them. I said, you never know. And, you know, when we tell our children something and they take it to heart, you know, because that's the way we have to teach them, because if they don't have someone to teach them, they're lost into the world. And that's the way the Bible tells us to bring them up in the way that they should go. And hey, you don't have to worry. They might go astray for a while, but they'll remember that word, and God can bring them right back around. and you don't have to worry about it. So we have to do it. It didn't say that people outside of your home do it. It starts within the home. You bring that child up. When the child's in your presence, don't have to always be in your presence, just the time that they are. You bring them up in the way that you know is best for them. And that way is with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Let them know why. Let them know God sent his only Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And if we let them know that, they start to look at it and they start asking questions. Well, Paul, why this? Why that? And I try my best to give them a little something to go on, explain a little bit more to them and everything. And I can ask every one of them now that comes to my wife and me, why are we here today? Who's the reason why we're here today? And they'll say Jesus to everything that I asked a question about Jesus of. And that right there lets me know that they've been paying attention. And I told them, I said, when you go out, you tell your friends that Jesus is watching over you. Jesus is the one keeping you. I said, when you have little tests and stuff, you pray and you ask them to help you through your test, that you want to pass that test. And I said, he'll help you. And they looked and said, okay, Popo. I said, all right. I said, I'm trying to tell you now. I said, without him, we can't do nothing. And they enjoy hearing that, you know, because, you know, that's what we're supposed to do. So that's why I tell my wife, I said, when they leave us, they already know what the deal is. Whatever happens outside when they leave us and they come back and they got a question for us, because they see things, they hear things, and they're wondering about things. And they want to know about it.
Yeah.
So they ask that question when they come back to us. And we got to have an answer for it, because they don't understand. And we have to make it to the point to where they understand anything that we tell them or anything outside of what they see and hear, to let them know the truth within what's real. So that's the way that we continue to teach our great-grands. As they come, we taught our grandkids the same when they were, you know, growing up. We try to teach our great-grands when they're here and they come over the same way. And, you know, it just the right thing to do. Because when I was young, I was taught the same way. But when I got a little older,
right,
I got hard-headed. I got the big head. I wanted to be my own man. My dad told me, said, oh, you think you a man now, huh? He said, well, if you feel that you a man, said, you be on your way, and you go ahead and you take care of yourself. Well, I blowed up and got mad, and I took off. But the only problem, when I took off, I didn't have nowhere else to go. I got to thinking, I was like, now, something, I got to work something out. I didn't blow up and got mad. I can't go back home now. So I moved in with my cousin, you know, and when he started asking for half of the bill money the way that Dad was asking at home, and I didn't want to do it, I'm like, well, wait a minute now. I didn't got down here with him, and he said the same thing Dad said. And I got mad about it. You know, with my dad, him, I have to pay him the same way. So I started to see things, to learn things. But it takes going through something in order to be able to learn from your mistakes and do better. And it made me a better person, because later on, he opened up the doors for me to come back home, him and Mom, and I learned from it. And I started to want to help do things around the house. I'd do a little work and help buy school clothes and things for my sisters and my brother, help Dad out. You know, it was a learning experience for me. To let me know you're not so big that you feel that you can go out there and do, but you're going to have to learn from it. And he let me go out there and learn. And I thank God, because of the situations that I went through, that I could have been dead and gone and not still here today, that he brought me through many situations to whereas if it hadn't have been for the Lord and the prayers that the old saints continued to pray for us, being on my side,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be here.
That's right.
I wouldn't be here. I prayed for somebody and found out I wasn't nobody. So I continue to look, and we have to let them young people know that it's real out there. Go ahead, Bishop.
No, I was going to say, it's not when they get there, they find it's not like they thought it was. When the,
so
what
true.
They see is different from what you experience when you get there.
So
they all look rosy. It's just like when I was in West Africa, I spoke at the college there, and the young people came up to me and said, if we just could get to America, we'd be in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
If we just could get to America, we'd be in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Well, some people,
no.
That's right. And they hear about 3 years, and then they find out that it definitely wasn't like what they thought it was.
That's right.
And,
America's
and
lies to a lot of black people.
Yeah, and that's just like we who were in the South. We say, oh, we just could get to the North. We'd be all right. We won't have to put up with all this. But you get there, you find out you got to put up with something. Might be a little different than what you
had
to put up with here. But you, hey. It's life is a learning experience. Yep. Yep.
It is a learning experience.
Yeah.
And the thing that we don't realize when we're going through and we're going through that learning experience and we look at it, we be like, man, you know, I kind of thought this would be or that would be, but man, it ain't much different from the problems I already had, you know. You start to realize that things ain't all what they seem no more because of the situation that you're going through. And like I said, you have to go through something to be able to see the situations that you thought you was going to be able to see is not what you expect. And I tell you the truth, it wasn't easy when I got out there thinking I was a man then. My dad let me see that the man that you thought you was, you see now how hard it is getting out there doing the manly thing. And I learned from it.
Yeah.
And I started learning how to respect more then. You know, I said, but the thing is, I thank God that I learned at a young age. I was still young, and I learned at a young age. And I was able to pick up and do the right thing. Even though I got on the wrong track at times in my life, like all us young men do, but I didn't put myself in those situations to whereas I know better. You know, you get out there sometime and your friends influence you on things. I didn't let my friends influence me. I wasn't easily influenced on things like some of my friends was because if I hadn't learned and experienced things, I probably would have been. They'd do one thing, I'd be like, you go ahead, man, that ain't my thing. You go ahead and do your thing. And I'd go ahead and I'd do my thing, and I'd go on and leave. But I had to learn, though. It was a learning experience. So I'm blessed. I'm still here. And I thank God that he chose me, and I chose the right decision when he chose me. To serve him and him only and just be a servant for him. And like I said, we're praying for you and your family. And our Bishop R.C. Bryant, he's still going through it. I believe we got to have some kind of surgery, they said. So still praying for him and his companion. And my aunt, she's went to the hospital today. She went to get an allergy shot, and they ended up putting her in the hospital and couldn't give it to her because they're going to do some tests tomorrow to see if she got a blockage anywhere. So just continue to remember her. But so many is going through things, and we know who has the answer for it all. We're going to trust and we're going to believe, touch and agree, and knowing that he has all power in his hands.
That's
so
right.
Bishop, we love y'all. We
continue to pray. And with that said, shalom. Bless to y'all.
Shalom. All righty. Shalom.
Yes, sir. Yes.